You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend. Gordon, Japan and the United States, this last year, beginning in January of 2023, when the Prime Minister Kishida met with the President, Mr. Biden, in Washington, how would you characterize Tokyo and Washington working together or on parallel tracks this last year? Good evening, Gordon.
Good evening, John. The U.S.-Japan relationship, which was already close, is even closer still this year. And another element to this is that the relationship between Japan and South Korea has grown closer, largely because there's a new president in Seoul, Yoon Suk-yeol, who believes that it's important to have these robust relationships with Tokyo when it comes to the defense of all three countries.
We go to a colleague of ours, Yoko Ishii, who very much watches social media. On social media, she's Random Yoko. Watching this development all year, Kishida with Mr. Biden in the White House, but what about the Japanese public, especially the young public, the millennials and Gen Z, watching their elders look towards China as a threat, watching their elders make relationships with the United States, the Philippines, Australia, it could lead to armed conflict. What does this mean about the opinion of the self-defense forces converting into what appears to be a major military-industrial complex with lots of building ahead? Yoko, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. Can you generalize about how the young public is watching these developments of Kishida and the government in Tokyo moving towards a defense posture? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thank you so much for having me back on your amazing show. So one big thing that I see that has changed in Japan is the public opinion about China. It includes the young people as well, but generally, like entire Japanese people, 80 to 90% of us dislike China. And the number is higher than before. And I think it's the same in South Korea as well. I've seen the poll. And just living here in East Asia, we just feel it, you know, that they are expanding. And even if you are not very familiar with politics, especially the world is facing all this crisis in the world. Like anybody can see what's happening in Ukraine or Israel and Hamas. And we know that we are living in this unsteady time. And next to us is China. And we hear all sorts of stories about their human rights oppression and so on. And it doesn't matter if you're on the right side or left side. We can see the oppression that they're doing, what they're doing to expand. And our administration, by the way, revised our important defense documents, like three of them, a year ago from now, in December last year, and it dramatically changed our defense strategy. And of course, we are working closely with the U.S. and other countries as well. And it became a huge topic on the news. And so I think that everybody is familiar with it. But the problem that we are facing now in Japan, especially including like young people, is the economy. So we are busy thinking about economy, and we are not actually, even though we do feel threatened to a certain degree, I don't think that all of our citizens are actually aware, or we can't afford it to think about national security because we are busy thinking about how to survive every day economically.
Gordon, you have a question for Yoko.
Yoko, the Japanese business community has certainly been very pro-China over the course of decades.
Yes.
Obviously, they haven't gone away. What are they now saying about the relationship with China, and how is that playing with the rest of the Japanese population?
I haven't checked the exact numbers, but I often hear that they are withdrawing from China, like factories and so on. And also the term that we hear often today is the economic security. I think that's the term. I'm not too sure in English, but we are thinking about how to protect our technology and intellectual properties and so on, which has a lot to do with the business field. Our minister, like Sanae Takaichi, is a big, strong leader when it comes to that. And we are working so hard to, protect our country from, including when it comes to technology and so forth, too, if you know what I mean.
Yoko, your parents and your grandparents, they come
yes.
from the Japan of the 20th century that was keen on being anti-war, for peace only. Hence the constitutional change that happened right after the war in the 1940s was not challenged for 20, 30, 40 years. Are your parents and grandparents' generation, that would be the boomers and even Gen X, have they changed their opinion, too, of what is necessary to prepare for a war in Asia if China attacks Taiwan? Is there a change there?
I think that generally speaking, Japanese people just believe that, like, especially because of the education and media imprint, that we believe that if we pray for peace, then it will somehow happen. So we often just wish for peace, and that's just the fundamental mentality, I think.
And so that is mm-hmm. the something that your parents and grandparents believe in, praying for peace and maintaining
yes.
A strong economy.
Especially older generations
yeah.
tend to do that. They don't want, like, they are traumatized by the World War II, and they keep saying that, oh, we will not repeat that again. And also, their thought process is that, they are like, what we call is war guilt imprint. So, somehow, especially older generations, believe that if Japan, for example, increase our defense capabilities, then that will lead to the scenario that Japan invades other countries for some reason, because they believe that Japan was the bad guy and that we will keep being the bad guy. So they don't want to arm us. And that's why one of the reasons why we can't revise our constitution to have our military forces officially.
Gordon, is this something that you spoke to when you were in Tokyo recently? You've been in Tokyo twice. Is there still anxiety in the older generation? That would be me, Gordon, the boomers, about moving into a defense posture.
Well, among some older people, yes. But, you know, when you start to think about like people in their 30s and 40s and 50s, they see the threat Japan is under. This is China. It's not just Taiwan or not just in the Philippines. It is also against the Senkaku Islands in the East China Sea that China claims and calls the Diaoyus. And although the Senkaku crisis has not been at the forefront recently, Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, just 4 or 5 days ago, actually talked about maritime sovereignty in the East China Sea and how China had to do more, which was really a warning to the Japanese people that China was going to turn its attentions north into the Senkaku areas. And as well, China has also been trying to separate Okinawa and the Ryukyu chain from Japan. So all of this is now going to, I think, become much more important for people in all generations in Japan.
Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, and we thank Yoko Ishii. She blogs at Random Yoko. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.